Dr. Ralph Wilson with Joyful Heart Renewal Ministries. I'd like to share with you my thoughts today on Psalm 32, 6 through 11, Joy in God's Secret Place. Let's pray. Our Father, you're so patient with us. Like little children, you bring us up and train us and teach us and love us and cleanse us and dust us off and lead us to be sons and daughters and disciples. Work that in us today, I pray, Lord, through your Spirit and your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 32 gave me a kind of quiet joy as I was reading it in my morning devotions recently. The first five verses talk about the wonder of confession of sins and forgiveness. I have commented on them elsewhere. Verses 6 through 10, where I'd like to focus today, talk about the joy of the believer. The tenor of the psalm from verse 6 on is an acknowledgement of God as Savior and Protector. Verse 6, "Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found." The life of the believer is a life of prayer, communing with God throughout our day-to-day lives, as well as calling out to Him when dangers or challenges appear. Literally, verse 6 is a command to pray to you at the time for finding. The verb is masa, to find or perhaps to seek. Sometimes we relegate prayer to particular days or times, but David urges us not to wait, but to pray to the Lord while you may be found, NIV. The text implies that there are definite times when God is near and accessible to us, and times when, because of our sin or hardness or our situation, we are unable or unwilling to come to Him. We must take advantage of the opportunities He gives us to draw close to Him. There is a joy in walking with Him at our side in the cool of the morning, as well as through the heat of the day. We are tempted to call upon the Lord only when we're in deep trouble. At other times, our relationship is too often more casual, more infrequent, less intense. Blessed are we if we walk with the Lord day by day, so that when problems arise, and they do, we know how to rely on Him, how to find that special place of faith in crisis. David speaks of the godly in our psalm in verse 6. "Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him." No matter how blessed we are, how well life may be going, there will always be a time when floodwaters threaten to engulf us. In these times, we need Him to lead us to higher ground. We often balk at going deeper, moving higher in Christ, until those times of stress come when we must trust and follow, far out of our comfort zone, acutely aware that we are not able to solve all our challenges independently. An old gospel hymn calls us upward, "Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." There are times of great danger when we are called to stand bravely against the enemy, but there are also times to run and hide. David experienced this when he was fleeing from Saul's armies, constantly seeking out a safe place among the rocks and crags and caves of the Judean wilderness in which to hide. In this psalm and others, he calls Yahweh his hiding place. Verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble." Hiding place is setter from satar, hide, conceal. The noun occurs several times in reference to God as the believer's place of refuge and protection, translated in different ways. Psalm 27:5, "He will conceal me under the cover of his tent." Psalm 31:20, "In the shelter of your presence you hide them." Psalm 61:4, I long to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 91, the shelter of the Most High. Psalm 119, 114, my refuge and my shield. A number of songs and hymns have been written about this hiding place, as songwriters have discovered the comfort and joy of God's presence for themselves. For example, You Are My Hiding Place by Michael Ledner, 1981. The Secret Place by Phil Wickham, 2018. For us believers today, Christ is our hiding place, our hidey hole, our mountain hideout to shelter us when the enemy is combing the hills to plunder and harm and destroy. Colossians 3:3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. But Yahweh's hiding place is not characterized by stillness or fear. The psalmist recounts, verse 7, you surround me with songs of deliverance. I love the imagery. We are surrounded not by the enemy, but by shouts and songs of salvation, escape, deliverance. These songs are what you would expect in the camp of a victorious army, but they surround us in the secret place of the Most High. God both protects us and encourages our faith. Now, God draws us close with an assurance of his presence and his ongoing care for us, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. First, God promises instruction. The verb here is sakal, the idea of giving insight, comprehension, wisdom. This isn't formal book learning. Rather, it consists of practical insights on the way or path or road that we should travel, guidance for our direction, instruction on our way of living. God will give us practical wisdom to help us prosper in our everyday lives if we will listen. Next, he promises teaching, a similar word that suggests more formal instruction. The verb is yara, to teach, instruct, the root of Torah. As God taught Moses both what to do and say, and instructs those who fear him in what direction they should go, so he promises to lead us. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Comforter, will teach us all things, remind us of what Jesus said, and guide us into all truth. Finally, God promises wise counsel based on our circumstances. Literally, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. My mental image is of a helicopter hundreds of feet above, radioing down to us conditions ahead so that we can make good decisions. God knows the path ahead. When David was fleeing from his son Absalom, one of David's greatest concerns was that Absalom would follow the wise counsel of Ahithophel, the king's advisor. I'm reading from Samuel 16:23. Now in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and by Absalom. But Absalom disregarded Ahithophel's counsel at a crucial juncture, and David was saved. How much more valuable is the counsel, the timely advice of the Most High? So often we neglect to seek his counsel, or we don't listen carefully, or even worse, we go against it. God is a good, good Father. In working out his divine plans, he seeks our good also. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. As I consider Psalm 32:8, I marvel that God doesn't command or order us. Rather, he teaches, enlightens, and counsels us so that we can make good decisions ourselves. If you order the lives of your children beyond their early years, they can never grow to maturity. God leads the way and trusts us to follow. That is our part of this journey of faith. The alternative to seeking God's counsel, of course, is stubbornness. We humans start out as extremely self-centered infants. We feed, we mess diapers, we sleep, and we cry when something isn't quite to our liking. But we change, I hope. We grow. We respond to love and to discipline. Our parents patiently teach us in 1,000 moments to listen, to obey, to be polite, to love, to care about others. All is well. And then we become teenagers, hardwired by the Creator to become independent of our parents. Those years can be tough, and some of us never outgrow the rebelliousness. God warns us through the psalmist, verses 8 and 9, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." Have you grown to the point that God can take off the bridle that forces you to go a particular direction? Do you come to God of your own free will or only when you're afraid? Does your path of life indicate your trust in Him or only in yourself? In verse 10, the psalmist offers two paths, two choices, pain or God's solid love. Verse 10, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him." The Hebrew word behind the woes, sorrows, torments of the wicked suggests mental anguish. You would think that when we choose the path that offers the most pleasure, hedonism, we would end up being happy. But the end of that road is misery, on earth and beyond. The alternative is being recipients of God's steadfast, unfailing love. The Hebrew noun is hesed. No one English word encompasses the full meaning. Essentially, chesed is unremitting love within a covenant relationship, even when one party fails or is unfaithful to the covenant. When you consider chesed, you think of a word developed by Paul in the New Testament, grace, Greek charis, favor that is extended to a person unilaterally, not on the basis of how well one performs or behaves or reciprocates that love. Grace, chesed, steadfast love, is God's favor that is neither earned nor deserved. "Don't be like a stubborn mule," the Lord says. "Let me teach you. Let my steadfast love surround you. Don't resist me." Sin causes us to run away from God, to kick against the goads. Relax. Let your fear and distrust, your rebellion and sin fall away, and hear His words of instruction to you. The psalm concludes by calling God's children to joy, verse 31. "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." These righteous ones are not the self-righteous, but those who have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. The upright in heart aren't dour, joyless religious robots. No, this is a false stereotype. Rather, those who see that their heart stays in tune with the Lord, who are quick to repent when they are in the wrong, they are the ones who have reason to party and rejoice in His presence. They are the ones who revel in His hesed, His grace, His steadfast love. Our present life is guided by our Father, and a future in heaven with Him awaits us. Hallelujah! What more could we ask? Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your great favor towards us, your hesed, your grace. Thank you. I pray, O Lord, for my brothers and sisters, that you would fill us with joy and let us walk with that joy of faith as you lead us through these lives. We live before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.